More on that potential meeting from Jonathan Cheng, bureau chief for the Wall Street Journal in Seoul, South Korea. Jonathan, any reaction yet from the likes of Japan or China?
Well, I think Japan has been caught a little off guard by this. They've said that they're going to send Shinzo Abe to Washington as soon as possible to talk about what's gone on here and North Korea policy. And China has remained generally reticent, even though it has generally been pretty much in favor of talks with North Korea to try and get something resolved and try and dial down the tensions a little bit.
What about the pre-talks ahead of any meeting? What would they involve?
Well, I think it would be trying to get both sides closer together. Keep in mind how far apart the positions on North Korea, between North Korea and the U.S. are on nuclear, on the nuclear question. North Korea basically has been saying for the last few years that it would not give up its nuclear weapons under any condition. And, of course, the U.S. position is that North Korea must give up its nuclear weapons no matter what. So on the face of it, it seems to be an irreconcilable kind of standoff here. And yet this is what both sides are supposedly going to be talking about. And those lower-level talks is really where the action is going to take place. Mm-hmm. Typically, you see these summits arranged and agreed upon only after the two sides have worked things out at a lower level. And this time around, it appears that we're going to be doing things backwards. I don't think there's very much evidence that there has been any low-level talks here, which means that we're starting from scratch and on a very compressed time frame here.
I see that, yeah. Why would North Korea, by the way, come all this way with this nuclear program then suddenly say that it's might be willing to drop it?
Well, that's a great question. And I think there are a lot of people out there who are asking exactly the same question that you are and wondering whether or not this is anything more than a cynical ploy. These people will point to previous summits where the North Korean leader, I think in that case it was Kim Jong-un's father, said that he was willing to give up his nuclear weapons in exchange for a security guarantee, and none of those deals worked. Now, people will say, who defend North Korea will say that the U.S. didn't hold up its end of the bargain, but there are a lot of people who believe that North Korea cheated on those deals even as they made them because they had no intention of ever giving up these nuclear weapons. Mm. Then on the other side, there is a strong case to be made as well that sanctions have taken a bite on North Korea, that he's about to run out of U.S. dollars, and that's the currency that he needs to keep his economy running, and especially the elites, and that he needs to do something here, and maybe that's what it is. It's a move of desperation.
Mm. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal's Jonathan Cheng. He's with us today from Seoul, South Korea, where he's the bureau chief, talking about President Trump agreeing to meet with North Korea leader Kim Jong-un. If a meeting does not happen, because the two sides are so far apart in what they want, could that mean further escalation of tensions between the two?
I think that's definitely a scenario that could take place. I think for sure if you have these issues sort of put out on the table and openly debated between the two, I mean behind closed doors, but openly between them, I think you're very quickly going to see the wide gap between the two sides, and I'm not sure how you bridge that. There are creative ways to do it, and diplomats are paid precisely for this. But still, there's a reason why the North Korea nuclear issue has been one of the most difficult and intractable issues for the last couple of decades.
Yeah. How significant would this be, by the way, a face-to-face?
I think it would be very significant. Keep in mind that North Korea has never had its leader meet a sitting U.S. president. Bill Clinton and Jimmy Carter have both visited North Korea, but after they left office, Madeleine Albright visited North Korea when she was the Secretary of State, but never a president. And in fact, as far as we know, Kim Jong-un has never met a foreign head of state since taking power a little more than 5 years ago. So it would be meaningful on all of those levels, and it certainly would give us more insight into who he is as a man, because we don't have a whole lot right now.
Right. Well, I was just trying to think, too, if some sort of agreement were reached, what things would be like, say, with inspections, right? It's just so hard to be in that country as it is.
Yeah, that's one of the key questions. If your benchmark here is to say that they're going to stop developing their nuclear program altogether, then you're going to have to create some sort of regime where inspectors can come in anytime, anywhere, and take a look. And that's something that North Korea has never wanted to do, and for understandable reasons. No one wants another foreign country to be able to have that right. And if they don't agree to that. I don't see how you could possibly come to some sort of a deal on those terms. If you stick to something more modest, like they cannot test a nuclear weapon or a missile, that's easier to verify, but it's also much less valuable.
Thanks, Jonathan. The Wall Street Journal's Jonathan Chang with us today from Seoul, South Korea. Hey, thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe. For more from This Morning Show, check us out at thismorningwithgordondeal.com.